And so happy solemnity, the solemnity of the body and blood of Jesus. So it's celebrating the Eucharist, that piece of what looks to be bread that's on the altar, and then after the priest consecrates that bread, that wine, it is the body and blood of Jesus. And it's basically like a miracle that happens every Sunday. Why do we believe it? Simply because the Bible tells me so. Really, strictly speaking. There is no common sense in it, really, when it comes down to it. It's just God says so. And God can choose to do that. I mean, God can make himself bread just as much as he can make himself a human being, because it's not nature for God to be a human being, but he did. You know, so if he wants to make himself a bread, he can make himself a bread, and it's no longer bread. It's God, you know. And so, but what he did with this, why would he do something like this? Now, this is the amazing thing about it. I'm going to try to keep this as quick as possible. What God did with worship and how that affects our relationship with him. Now, when you go back, way back to Adam and Eve, and Cain and Abel, right? So remembering what the Eucharist is, right? What did Cain offer and what did Abel offer, right? Abel offered bread and wine, the fruit of the earth, the work of human hands. We should recognize that from the Mass too. So bread and wine. Cain offers a lamb, right? And so we see bread and wine and a lamb at the very first sacrifice offered to God. Now, Cain doesn't understand, Abel offers the lamb, Cain offers the bread and the wine, the work of human hands, as opposed to the lamb. And Cain doesn't understand why the Father in heaven is preferring this sacrifice. And as Christians, especially as Catholics, we can understand why, because Jesus is the Lamb of God. But he's taking this offensive, and what does he do? He kills. He sees there's a dichotomy between these sacrifices and therefore between these people, right? And so there's a chasm. There's a chasm between the sacrifice and this worship of God. Why do we worship God? Because it's right. To do worship of God is an act of justice. We owe God our worship. It's not about what we get out of it. As soon as we look at what we get out of our worship, we're no longer worshiping by definition of worship. Worship is giving due to God what we owe him. That's what worship is. And humanity does not have a right to define what worship is. God defines. If you owe somebody something, they determine how you pay it back, not the person who owes it. So God is the one that determines what worship is. And he has determined that it is the Eucharist. Now, this is the great thing. There's a lot more to this. But to keep this short, I'll probably give a talk on it later on the Facebook. I'll do that live probably. But what Jesus has done is he brought it back together. And so we see the fruit of the earth and work of human hands, what we do, our toil, because Cain was thinking his toil, look what I am doing, right? So it's about himself, right? But God is like, okay, you want to offer your sacrifice? I will let you offer that sacrifice, but I will add my part to it. And so the work of human hands becomes the Lamb of God. That bread and wine, the work of human hands, human's part of that sacrifice is united with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ crucified. And so now Jesus offers with us his sacrifice, which makes it a holy and pleasing sacrifice. You know, pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. So the bread and the wine are now pleasing to God, and then through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father. So now the sacrifice of Jesus is made one with our sacrifice. It is integrated. It can never be separated from the sacrifice of Jesus. It becomes pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Right? So Cain is thinking, oh, the Father is not pleased at all with the sacrifice, but there will be a time, and he brings our sacrifice into one with him in the humanity of Jesus, offering us salvation. So now, because we have this bread and wine, this is sacrifice given to him, he has taken an act of justice and turning it into an act of love. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross out of love for us and to his Heavenly Father. Why was Jesus sent? Because the Father sent him. The Father sent the Son to die on the cross for us. That is proof. And the only thing that could explain that is that the Heavenly Father loves us. That's the only thing that could explain why he would send his only begotten Son. And then the Son says yes to the sacrifice. What could explain why the Son would even say, yeah, I'll die for them? The only thing that could ever explain why Jesus would say yes is that he must love us. That's the only thing. So the Father loves us. The Son loves us. And he's offering a sacrifice, his very self, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, as a sacrifice of love for us. And as we know right here, Jesus Christ on this altar, by the very words of the institution, this is my body given up for you. This is my blood shed for you. The very words of the institution, the very words of consecration, points to the sacrifice. So the Eucharist is the once and for all sacrifice that happened 2,000 years ago, now becomes present to us. We're not re-sacrificing him, but we are, in a certain sense, transported back 2,000 years ago to experience the love and the sacrifice Jesus has for us. Imagine what it would be. What would you say? What would you do if you were able to be there at the foot of the cross as you knew he was sacrificing himself for you? Well, that is the Eucharist. That is the Mass. The Mass is that golden opportunity for every Christian to thank God. That's why they call it a Eucharist, Thanksgiving. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus, for offering your sacrifice for us that we may be made whole. And he did this as an act of love. And now, because of that, he calls us as an act of worship, as an act of justice, to love him back. Love demands love. The only proper response to love is love. And so now worship becomes a response of love and no longer just a servitude, a slavery to God. What an awesome gift that God would ask us to participate in that. And that makes sense because what do? We receive the sacrament of love. We don't just, like in the Old Testament, give the sacrifice and burn it before God, and we don't participate in that sacrifice, but rather we participate, we commune with God in this banquet, in this great feast. Isn't this awesome? It's just mind-blowing that God would invite us into the sacrifice of love to ask us to enter into the divine, the all-powerful, the almighty, the one who doesn't benefit from us at all, would out of his gratuitousness, out of his magnanimity, would want us to be with him because it is purely our benefit. He gains absolutely nothing from this. He is pure love outpouring for us. What an awesome gift, and this is a great opportunity, the golden opportunity to be able to participate, to come and truly worship in adoration, to adore, to give our very selves to God in this sacrament of love, in this worship of love. And so in this certain sense, when we give of ourselves, when we pour out ourselves, not looking at what we get out of it, but just in this gift of self to him, he outpours himself to us in complete faith and trust. It is the marital banquet. That's what marriage is supposed to be all about. That's why marriage is the very image of God and his love for us. It models it for us. It's a sign of it for us, but it actually makes it happen. That's the beauty of marriage and the awesomeness of marriage. And we get to participate in this sacrament on this altar that he may empower us to love each other, to love as God has loved us in this total gift of self. And so now, in this sacrament, it's this giving to each other, humanity and God, giving themselves to each other in the sacrament of love, participating in each other, and we get the best part of it, the infinite giving himself to the finite, the sinless one giving himself to the sinner, so that we can be purified, that we may be whole, that we may have healing, that we may have all the graces we would ever need. What an awesome gift. And we ask our Lord Jesus to come here in this sacrament of love, to enter our hearts, to renew that holy and sacred temple of God that we are as we struggle, as we go, and that daily bread, as we go out into the world, continuing to struggle with all the sufferings and all the trials we have and all the difficulties we have in this world. He has never left us. He is truly with us forever. Thank God he is so good that he would be with us forever. And so we come here, yes, in this act of worship, to give our hearts to him because he has already given himself to us.